this morning, in re interest of Skylar J. Council may approach. Morning, Mr. Ziski. Again, this is in re interest of Skylar J.
May it please the court, council, I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time. Again, good morning. I represent Sherry W. She is the not only the mother, but the originally the maternal grandmother of five children, all girls. She adopted these children, legally adopted them in 2017 after the their mother's rights were terminated in Arizona. Sherry has been the lone consistent parent force for these children their entire lives. Even before she legally adopted them, she was there as they grew up. She was there for all of their births. She was there as the family moved around to various states, finally ending up here in Nebraska. We would submit that this case is a little bit unusual in that the main issue, I believe, that the state, that the court, why the court terminated Sherry's rights was not due to her actions, but due to the unfortunate situation she found herself in with her husband, who was battling a drug and alcohol addiction that he was unable to overcome. And she had a difficult choice, a difficult decision, because not only was he battling his addiction, but he ultimately incurred some serious health problems that were related to this addiction. And she was in a position where she was trying to both follow the requests of the Department of Health and Human Services with regard to the children, do everything that she was supposed to be doing to follow the case plan in the case, while trying to keep her husband alive, basically.
So I'm going to cut to the chase here a little bit. This is not like our first case. This is the more traditional juvenile court termination, at which point the state has to prove that there's a statutory basis for terminating, and then it is also in the best interest of the children that the termination occur.
That is correct.
In your brief, you claimed that the state totally failed to prove any of the three of the statutory bases that they had alleged. The appellee points out in their brief that, in fact, one statutory basis was met for sure, and that's that the children had been out of the your client's custody for 15 of the 22 months. Do you agree that that statutory basis was met?
That statutory basis was met. However, the state, the original petition to terminate parental rights was actually filed 11 months after the children were removed, or perhaps 12 months. The 15 months time period did not actually happen until after the petition to terminate rights was filed. Ultimately, I would submit that, again, although, and the courts have said this, that although a statutory ground terminating parental rights may exist under that provision of the statute, 43-2927, the passage of time itself does not demonstrate parental unfitness, which ultimately is what we are arguing here, is that the court erred in finding that Sherry was an unfit parent and that it was in the best interest of these children for her rights to be terminated.
So we've eliminated the statutory basis. We don't have to talk about that anymore. And so now we're just going to focus on the best interest. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
And again, this we're talking about a constitutionally protected relationship between parents and children. And again, there's a rebuttable presumption of the best interests are served by reuniting children with a parent, and that termination should only be used as a last resort. In this case, again, Sherry and best interest, as we know, looks not necessarily to what happened in the past, but towards the future, and how that, is it going to be in the best interest for the children to remain to be reunited with their parent.
Your client was given services. Your client was given a lot of opportunity and time to make changes to the condition of the home, to the substance abuse that was going on, and it just didn't, it never, it, there were some changes. There was a move to a different residence, things like that, but also her husband was not supposed to be in the residence because he was a bad influence, yet he always found a way to come back and become a part of that residence.
And I would say that he was never ordered not to be in the residence. He was allowed to be at the visits. In fact, he was encouraged to be at the visits, particularly after the family moved from the house in Plattsmouth to Wahoo. And again, that house, by all accounts, was appropriate. It was kept clean. And there was never any issues of drug use at the house. I guess I would point that out is that the state never presented evidence that any drug use was done in front of the children or around the children. They only allege that he has this addiction, that he is a drug user, and again, there was no evidence that it was ever done, strictly at the house in Wahoo, the apartment on Wahoo, after she moved there.
Mr. Ziske, just to be clear on the record, there was a period of time where there was a lot more people in the house than just your client and her husband. Is that? But at some point, it did.
It did correct itself. Yes.
That part corrected.
Yes.
The other people who did seem to have issues also with substance abuse were eliminated.
Yes. She had two. She has two adult children who are living with her in Plattsmouth. Again, that issue was taken care of after she moved to Wahoo in February of 2022, and continued to live there on her own. She even testified that ultimately, by the time the termination of parental rights trial happened, was that her husband had in fact moved out, and that, but the court chose not to basically, I guess, heed that evidence. Or take that into consideration, determining, well, is this going to be in the best interest of children moving forward, that her rights stay intact. Again, she did everything she was supposed to do. She attended every family team meeting, completed a psychological evaluation, parenting assessment, initial diagnostic interview, completed the recommended parenting classes. She also regularly attended individual therapy sessions to work on boundaries, both with her husband and her adult children. She was also herself dealing with some mental health issues, including depression and anxiety. Again, dealt with those in individual therapy. So we would also submit that these children, again, there's five children. They ranged at the time of trial from ages 14 down to, I believe, two or three. There were the three older children testified at the trial. They all testified that they wanted to live with their mother, with Sherry. The 14-year-old testified that she wanted to go back living with Sherry. Bailey, who was 12, testified that she would like to live with her. And also the 10-year-old did as well. So,
how much weight should a court give to a 14-year-old's wishes in that regard?
Well, I think some deference should be given to that. Some weight should be given to that. These children have been out of the home for, again, a number of months. They still maintained a bonded relationship with their mother. All indications was that all the visits went generally well, and that there was good interaction with them. Even during the COVID period where the visits were virtual, she had to deal with that as well. There was 3 months where she couldn't have in-person visits. But I think that obviously the courts, the children had a guardian ad litem. They were free to testify as they saw fit, and they all testified in that regard. So I think some weight should be given to them, particularly with the older children. I think the cases show that termination of parental rights with regard to older children should be treated somewhat differently than with much younger children. So I think...
How long should a parent be given to establish definitively that they will comply with the requirement of not having drug users in their home? I mean, this went on for quite some time and has already been referenced. I mean, there were up to 14 people living in that home at one point in time. There were meth users, there were other illegal substances, there were used syringes laying around with the children around, there were cockroaches, there were bed bugs, it was messy, it was just a horrible environment. I agree the record shows that the parent here moved and created a much better environment, but how long should she get to show that she could maintain that environment when right away, you know, her husband, and this is tough, it's her husband, right? Totally understand how difficult that must be, but at one point she said, if I have to, I'll kick him out to the road, but she just couldn't do it. How long should she get? If you could strike an agreement with the state, what would it be? How long?
Well, again, I think she was showing that that she was on that road and that this termination happened just much sooner than it should have, that she should have been given more time. Again,
how
we're
much
talking
more
about,
time?
Well, again, the whole case was less than 2 years, so I think that certainly within the next several months after the trial happening, that that she showed that she had complied.
Thank you.
That's my time.
Thanks. Good morning, Ms. Suter.
Good morning.
So we're just going to talk about best interests, right?
Okay. Yes. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Sarah Sutter. I'm a deputy Cass County attorney, and I represent the appellee, the state of Nebraska, in this matter. The state is respectfully requesting that this court affirm the order of the trial court, which found, first, that statutory grounds existed to terminate the parental rights of Sherry under 43-292, subsections 2, 6, and 7, and that termination of Sherry's parental rights was in the best interest of the minor children.
This is a bit unusual. I don't, at least on my, I'm in my 12th year now, I don't remember reviewing a termination of a grandmother who had adopted her grandchildren, and especially over drug problems. Would you agree this is an unusual factual situation?
Absolutely, I would agree, yes. Counsel made reference that this situation was unusual because it was not due to the actions of Sherry, but it was just an unfortunate situation that she found herself in. And the state would argue that the situation was really due entirely to either her actions or her inactions that the children have been in this out-of-home placement for, at the time of trial, 19 months, and still not in a position to be reunified with Sherry at that time. There is the presumption that a child's best interests are presumed to be served by having a relationship with his or her parent, and that presumption is only overcome when the state has proved that the parent is unfit. The definition of parental unfitness is found in a variety of both Court of Appeals and Supreme Court opinions, and that is that it's a personal deficiency or incapacity which has prevented or will probably prevent performance of a reasonable parental obligation in child rearing, and which has caused or probably will result in detriment to the child's well-being. I think there is clear and convincing evidence that exists to show that Sherry is an unfit parent, and I think that her personal deficiency is her inability and unwillingness to prioritize the safety and the well-being of the minor children in favor of continuing to enable her adult children, her husband, and their alcohol and drug abusing, other alcohol and drug abusing members of her family.
If her adult children and her husband left her alone and she was left to take care of the children herself, is there any evidence to suggest she couldn't do that well?
I think it's it's hard to say. I think we would need to have her prove that she could first keep those family members away and then establish that she is able to maintain a household that is a clean environment and it's safe from these individuals that use drugs and alcohol and put the children at risk.
Was there any evidence with regard to Dwayne, who's clearly very sick, any evidence that he was a danger to the children? Understand that he's a drug user and so forth, but was there any evidence associated with him doing drugs in the presence of the children or being under the influence in the presence of the children?
In the presence of the children, I don't believe there was any evidence. However, I think it was noted at the beginning of the case when the visits were initially occurring at the library in Plattsmouth, Dwayne and Sherry's adult daughter, Misty, were allowed to attend. And the individual who supervised those visits noted that there needed to be a lot of redirection of both Dwayne and Misty, that the relationship was very volatile, very argumentative. And I believe that Sherry even testified to that or agreed with that as well at trial, that they had a very volatile relationship. So I think that puts the children at risk of harm. She also acknowledged, particularly when they are both using, that relationship was volatile as well. So I think in that regard, that would be a safety risk or a safety concern, that Dwayne's presence would be around the children. There was reference to the variety of services that were offered to Ms. Sherry throughout this case. The supervised visitation, the family support, the drug and alcohol testing for both her and Dwayne. There were initial diagnostic interviews, medication evaluations, psychological evaluations, therapy, a parenting evaluation, transportation to various services, monthly family team meetings, referrals to treatment centers for Dwayne, transportation for Dwayne to treatment centers, payment for treatment. And while Sherry did establish a different residence in Wahoo, that the physical residence itself, by all accounts, was clean and appropriate, she still was unable to separate herself and provide a safe and stable living environment free from illegal substances. And that was, I would argue, one of the most important goals of the case plan that was still unmet at the time of trial.
So when you say that, do you mean that it was not free of substances because of Dwayne, or was there any evidence that that illegal substances were found in that Wahoo apartment at all?
I don't think there was any evidence that there was illegal substances in the apartment itself. However, the case manager did testify that, just the absence of illegal substances alone, an individual's use, maybe it'd be outside of the residence, if they come into the residence under the influence, that factor itself alone isn't the only thing that they look at as far as a safety concern when they're talking about an individual who is a substance, abuses substances, whether that be drugs or alcohol.
Because there was no evidence of that related to mom, grandma here.
Correct.
Right. Is there anything in the record to indicate that she would not be permitted to be their grandmother to the extent her rights as a mother were terminated?
I don't think so. The individual, I think it was from Jenda, who provided both family support and visitation, supervised visitation for the family for, it was probably about 15 months of the case. She herself testified that she believed that Sherry should and could be grandma to these kids. But that she was not capable of parenting the children in the way that they needed to be a parent.
And a lot of that was really based on her therapist diagnosed her with a codependent personality, right? And she just could not handle her adult children and her husband and keep them away from her residence?
She could not establish the appropriate boundaries that were necessary and required in order to establish a safe and stable home environment for the children. And I think that was well established at trial, that despite what she was reporting to her therapist as far as these boundaries that she had established, whether that be with Dwayne, whether that be with her adult children, that there was evidence presented at trial to dispute that she was following the boundaries as she set. Her therapist testified that that would be seen as a regression in any progress that she had made in therapy and addressing those codependent behaviors. And that's something that would need to be continued to be addressed in a therapeutic setting.
Was employment or her ability to support the children an issue?
It was, and I would note that even as far back as July of 2019, so approximately 6 months before the children were removed in January of 2020, that the department had implemented family support services on a voluntary basis with Sherry. And even as far back as that time, they were to address budgeting in the home. They were to address employment, housing, accessing community resources, and to assist Sherry in keeping these those type of individuals out of her home. So even prior to the removal, I think she was discharged at the end of August of 2019. There was continued reports to the department about the condition of the home and the individuals in the home and the drug use in the home. So to address the question of employment, Sherry was not employed at the beginning of the case. She did obtain employment for a period of time, kind of in that spring, summer timeframe of 2020. She quit her job because she was going to leave Plattsmouth and move to a different residence. That never happened. She was in danger of losing her residence at that time. And so I would just ask the court to affirm the trial court's order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any time left for rebuttal?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Counsel, thank you for being here. We'll take the matter under advisement. You are excused.